Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Raptors Over Everything Live. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined, as always, by Josh Hart, co-host.
What it do, baby?
What it do? It's a lot colder than the studio this time.
Seriously.
But I kind of like it because I got my heat tuck on.
And outside.
My heat tuckers.
Winter came with the swiftness, bro.
Yeah. This is, you know what though? Every winter, I'm very grateful for the Raptors because they, you know, keeping us warm, man.
I remember,
late night, honestly, yeah. Like, you know, you just ignore your family, you ignore your partner, you know, whatever. And you just put on the Raptors game and you watch Chris Boucher dunk over
everybody.
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 And it's a beautiful time. So it's the live call-in show. So the two numbers are there on the screen. Call in at 416-263-8297, 416-263-8298, and our lovely producer, Amit.
Salute.
Salute.
My guy.
Is going to take your call. So in the meantime, though, Josh, I've been trying to start this. I want to know where your head is at. Nick Nurse, Coach of the Year. Is this propaganda or is this actual facts?
He's definitely coaching at a very, very high level. I think the Western road trip has demonstrated that. I don't think anyone in the who observes the league could say that Nick Nurse hasn't been excellent. You know, losing guys back-to-back, new game plan with only a walkthrough. They didn't practice between the Lakers and Clippers games. But unfortunately, well, I don't think I see it. I think there's a real case. But wow. I'm Monty Williams Hive, I think.
You're Monty Williams Hive.
I just...
Give me the Monty Williams case, because, like, I agree. I like the Suns. I actually put the Suns in my top five league pass rankings so far in the season.
Yeah,
and I think they've stayed there, even though they've had some tough losses recently.
Yeah.
But give me the case for Monty Williams over someone like Nick Nurse.
I think that the Coach of the Year awards... It's typically... I don't even really like the coach of one of the very best teams in the league. I think it's... It always seems to be the coach of the best team that doesn't have an MVP finalist on it. That's just sort of the way it works. I kind of like the Coach of the Year going to a guy who's overperformed, made the most out of, you know, a challenging situation. And I think Phoenix going into the season, yes, we all believe that the roster had improved significantly, but I don't think we saw the kind of play we've seen from, like, Devin Booker is an easily an all-star and, like, we'll chat, like, can but maybe challenge to start, like, in a down year from Russell Westbrook that started and a no Steph Curry. I think that it's, like, incredible, incredible stuff. And, you know, I was touched by Monty Williams' story for his, you know, wife's unfortunate passing a few years. I think that will pull on the strings of some voters. And he seems like a solid dude.
It is a good story. It is a good story.
And I don't know if Nick Nurse will, like, very good coach, manages to keep team competitive after losing MVP. It's definitely amazing and impressive, but I don't know if it'll win the votes.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on Phoenix, I mean, we'll talk about. I think Nick is ahead of Monty. I think Monty's in my top three. One of the things that impressed me with Monty right now, the Phoenix Suns are first in the league in assisted points. So the number of points that have come with an assist, they're tops in the NBA. And last year, this is a team that just, like, didn't share the ball whatsoever, didn't play cohesively. I think some of the new personnel really helps, but at the same time, you know, that's a pretty impressive number. But I got to say, man, if you look at what Nick Nurse has done with this team, first off, it's, like, a really shorthanded roster at this point, right?
Incredibly
shorthanded. You don't have OG. Now, OG's back for the next game against Dallas on Saturday, but you don't have Kyle, you don't have Serge, and those two are going to be missing for extended periods. And this is the roster's not that deep. I mean, not in the sense that, like, you know, they don't have options, because we've seen over this road trip that they can have guys to contribute. But, like, it's not that deep in the sense that, you know, it's a new team. It's just thrown together right now.
Yeah.
And you got guys in unfamiliar territory. So I don't know if, like, I trust all the depth that's there. And so for Nick to get the results that he's getting right now, I mean, you look at the Raptors right now, third in passes per game, fifth in assisted points per game,
yep.
second in opponent shooting within under 6 feet. So, like, they're holding opponents basically to almost 40% under 6 feet, which is really impressive. They're number one in the league in opponent field goal percentage. So, you know, that's the crazy. Defense has been incredible. Yeah. And this is with a roster that, again, has been kind of shorthanded. And then you look at the losses over the years, right? Like, in the last 18 months, they've lost DeMar DeRozan, they lost Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright. Okay, CJ Miles, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green. You know, like, this is a lot of guys that they have dropped over the last couple of years, and yet they're still rolling.
Yeah.
8-3.
But do you think, so I guess my question for this Coach of the Year campaign is, what's more sustainable? Monty Williams' success in Phoenix with a team that seems to have really turned the corner in their maturity, or the Raptors continuing to gut out games with a shorthanded roster? And or which will be a more sustainably exhilarating story? If the Phoenix Suns are the sixth seed,
yeah,
it'll be unbelievable.
I know. No, it'll be the Sam Mitchell case. Like, you know, it's just
a
terrible team, a terrible franchise finally reaches competence. Like, you get a lot of awards for that.
And a guy who you can't find someone easier to cheer for, I think, given the last 2 years of his life.
Listen, I hear you, man. I like Monty. I like his story. But I just like Nick Nurse more, man. I think he's done a lot with a shorthanded
roster. I'm not going to complain if Nick Nurse...
I won't complain either. But honestly, they'll probably give it to Brad Stevens. they've been dying to praise Heave on...
But what's going to happen is Nick Nurse is going to have a gold medal at the end of this year. So,
yeah, let's talk next about year. That.
The Canada will be hosting one of the Olympic qualifiers. They'll need to... pull it together to qualify. We need Blake Murphy to really talk us through Canada basketball, but I'm very excited to see what happens with Canada basketball. I think it's a really exciting place for the program, and the fact that they'll be hosting games is very fun. But yeah, what does Nick Nurse need a Coach of the Year when he'll have a back-to-back Most Improved Player, a back-to-back championship, and then a gold medal?
That is true.
Let Monty have something.
That is true. We are kind of.
Why can't Monty have nice things?
Fine. Monty can have that. All right. But yeah, I mean, if we talk about the Canada basketball thing, so it was announced today by Canada Basketball that they have landed one of the four hosts of the Olympic qualifying tournament.
We have that to look forward to. Where do you think it'll take place?
It's already been announced. It's going to be in Victoria. It's going to be June. And one of the actual understated aspects is that, you know, you got teams like Lithuania and Serbia also hosting their own tournaments. So they're not going to be in Canada's group, which is nice because those are actual legitimate, teams. But nevertheless, this is great news because I think now there is no more excuse for Canadian players to come back out. They really have no good excuse. It's at home. It's on home soil. There's a really good chance to actually win the tournament. And as long as they are the top team within their six-team group, they will advance to the first Olympics, a men's basketball appearance in 20 years since Steve Nash in Sydney.
They should do it. I do side with the players pretty strongly that, you know, it's easy to not show up. How much does it really matter? You're not, you know. But I have I'm a proud Canadian citizen, no matter what Don Cherry thinks. But I want to see this team do well, and I think that there's no excuse. The talent's there. Dylan Brooks has confirmed he's planning on going. So,
yeah.
Yo, Amit's pumped. Shout out Dylan
Brooks, man. He's been doing some positive things in Memphis from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, he's had some good performances. He looks really nice. I'm really excited.
I like the fire and passion in which he plays the game. And honestly, so we're in the middle of the Raptor season. People probably don't care as much about Canada. But I got to say, though, Canada has enough talent to be competitive.
Yeah, shout out to Phil Scrubb.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Scrubb will probably be there, but honestly, if we get Shea to come out, Jamal Murray, like, we don't need everybody. We don't even need the new and improved Andrew Wiggins. We just need, like, Shea, Jamal, Tristan, Kelly Olynyk, now that he's healthy again, and you get the usual Corey. Kem Birch. You know what I mean? You put that together, that's already competitive enough.
For sure.
And enough to win the tournament. And if we get guys like Andrew to actually come out, then it's just a bonus. But I want to see Canada's top talent on the biggest stage in at least international basketball, and that's the Olympics.
All right. Well, let's get somebody on the line. Please call in 263-8297, 416-263-8298. I wanted to take an opportunity not to apologize and perhaps not even to gloat, but Kyle Lowry was injured. I got some blowback online.
You said last episode that you know,
Kyler's getting hurt.
Yeah, and then it immediately happened. So,
and I don't want to. I'm not here to gloat. I'm very upset that Kyler.
Why would you be here to gloat?
Yo, Joshua Domus, show some respect.
No, come on, man. Yo, relax.
I said it was going to happen, and it happened.
This show's called Raptors Over Everything.
Right? I believed that Kyle Lowry needed to play a few minutes. That should have been a ref game for Kyle Lowry ahead of the back-to-back.
No, they're not resting Kyle, man.
Kyle Lowry doesn't want to rest.
He refuses to rest. No, but seriously, though, it was very unfortunate timing. Yeah. But, you know, I think the silver lining is that we've gotten Kyle as a coach, which has been really fun to watch recently.
He's been very good. On Sunday, he looked wonderful. His
that
ripped
gesture
jeans.
He had against Portland?
Oh, yes.
shout out Portland, man. Great state.
All right. We have some Cash from Toronto on the line.
Shout out Portland, man. Great state.
Cash, how you feeling?
All right. We have some Cash from Toronto on the line. Shout out Portland, man. Great state. Cash, how you feeling? All right.
Hey, can you turn down your you have to mute us. We're hearing you back and it's causing a bit of feedback. We're happy to take your call, but you got to turn us down. Okay, I don't think that's.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what happened there.
Cash, you there? No, he's not there. That's okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of feedback. Look. We're still going through it right now, guys. We're still going through it.
Call in 416-263-8297. 416-263-8298.
All right. What else we got to talk about? Rondé. So, you know, we didn't really slander Rondé at all. I've been saying that Rondé should be in the rotation, and he finally got into it. But we did give Rondé a bunch of recommendations.
For things you should do.
assuming that he had a lot of free time.
Man does not have free time anymore.
He doesn't have free time anymore, man. Actually, a fun Rondé stat. I was looking through the Hustle stats before coming on the podcast. And, you know, so in terms of offensive loose balls recovered.
Yeah.
This is not a stat that people refer to a lot. No. But, you know, this is not even like a advanced stat or whatever. It's just like you can envision it. The amount of loose balls you've recovered on offense.
Yep.
Rondé has played. Well, technically he's played four games, but really one of those games he played like a minute. So he's really played three games. And in three games, he already has recovered more loose balls on offense than any other player on the Toronto Raptors for the entire season.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's tons of
energy.
That's
how hard this man
is. It was nuts seeing him on Wednesday night. I think Nick Nurse asked him to check out. Mm-hmm. He seemed furious that it'd be suggested that he come out of a game. He's really playing like a...
He's playing for his life.
Yeah. He bet on himself.
Yep.
He bet on his life.
Yep.
Fred VanVleet needs to take him under his wing as well, I guess.
Someone's got to take him under his wing, but it seems like the team really likes him. I like the way the team rallied around him.
Yeah, and he's doing really nice stuff on social media after every game. Like, he's entertaining. He's becoming, I think he'll quickly become a fan favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been great. So where do you think he's going to be in the rotation once OG comes back?
I have no idea. I think that the fact that OG and Serge... play ahead of him as bigs and on the wing will be a challenge for him to find a ton of minutes. But I think the hope is he'll be another big off the bench. Maybe he'll give Marc Gasol a spell, you know, hopefully able to play a few. I think it's not Harrison from Scarborough. But I think that Rondé Hollis Jefferson will give Marc Gasol some rest. And I hope that that's where Nick Nurse chooses to use him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that him and Serge can play well together.
Yeah.
And that's where I think. Where do you think he'll end up in the rotation?
I don't know.
it's a tough one.
It's tough because the Raptors actually do have some depth there. Obviously, OG and Pascal are two very solid pieces. And they're going to want to – well, I mean, you're going to want them to play a lot of minutes. But, I mean, at the same time, he's earned it, man. He's earned it. What about backup three behind OG? Because they've really had Norm play a lot of
those
minutes.
That's not a terrible place for him.
Yeah, like, he plays some backup three. He plays a little bit of backup four. You know, Chris Boucher's there, too. And, you know, it's I don't know.
All right, we got a call from Harrison in Scarborough. Harrison, how you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, Raptors over everything, you know.
Salute.
Yo, salute.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
I mean, this team's doing like crazy things. I haven't been watching the games because, you know, it's like they're like games that start at 9:30 or 10:30, like it's been a struggle, but I've been watching the highlights. I've been watching your podcast and stuff, and I'm looking at, like, Fred VanVleet and how capable of a point guard he is. Like, I know he said he wanted to be a starting point guard, and all that, especially with Kyle Lowry help, but do you think, like, he can be a starting point guard in this league? He's definitely filling the role.
I mean, I think he already kind of is showing that, right? I mean, here's the thing with Fred. I went on a bit of a Fred rant yesterday, but a lot of people see Fred as only the negatives. Like, they only see the limitations. They only see that he's 6 feet tall. They only see that, you know, he doesn't do this or he doesn't do that. And they just kind of ignore, like, all the things Fred does. Like, Fred, I mean, he performed in the finals. He performed in the conference finals. He performed this season so far. I mean, he's leading the NBA in minutes. He's one of the Raptors' best defenders. He defends the toughest point guard every single night.
Yep.
Even with Kyle Lowry in the lineup, he will still do that. He just put the clamps to Damian Lillard.
The clamps.
And two-point percentage is just not there for him right now. Like, it's just, you know, not something that he's just not great at finishing layups or even mid-range shots. But, like, three-point shots, he is one of the best three-point shooters, I would say, at the point guard position.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very consistent. Yeah,
no, easily.
So why isn't he a starting point guard? Like, how many things do we need? We're not getting, like, he's not going to be like Steph Curry or Magic Johnson or something. You know what I mean?
The case for Fred being a starter in the NBA is Terry Rozier is a starter in the NBA. Like, it's,
and he's way better than Terry.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they're very similar body types. Like, they're both sort of undersized catch and shoot point guards. I think, Fred is a totally serviceable starting point guard. I don't know if he's a totally serviceable starting two guard, but that's a debate that me and Will have for
ever.
But all right, Harrison.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate you, bro.
Have a great weekend, bro. All right, we got a question from the chat. I don't know. When Lowry gets back, could the Raptors move Fred VanVleet to run the bench and move Terrence into the starting lineup? Why not? Yeah, I mean, no, they shouldn't. If they're going to move anybody to the bench, or if they're going to move Fred for the bench for anybody, it's got to be Norm Powell. There's just a long tenure there for him, but I don't think it's a good idea to do that for Davis.
Yo, straight up, can we stop trying to move Fred VanVleet to the bench? What more does this man have to do, man?
Okay, yeah, we just talked about him being a great starter, but...
Bro, okay, again, I'm going to give this stat again. With Fred VanVleet as a starter, the Raptors are now 32. They're 32-7.
You know, I'm not saying that they should do it.
Don't move Fred to the bench! I don't care if it's for Norm. I don't care if it's for Terrence Davis. This man has earned it. If he struggles for like a month straight and you're like, wow, we really do need to do something else, then fine. Yeah. But there is no need to move Fred VanVleet to the bench right now. And it's, again, imagine you're at your company. You're killing it. You're getting all these opportunities. And more opportunities, you're really delivering more results. And then all of a sudden your boss says, actually, we got this waste man on the bench. We got to actually just promote him instead over you. Can you take a step back? You would be pissed.
Is Terrence Davis a waste man?
No, I'm not even calling him the waste man. I'm
but just
saying,
someone who's less
speaking,
accomplished, yes.
Yeah, way less accomplished. Like, Fred has done a lot.
Fred VanVleet got a finals MVP vote.
Yeah, look, it's not ideal. It's not the most perfect fit. But just because someone is quote-unquote more of a two, like, come on.
Yeah.
Fred plays better defense than Norm. He plays better defense than Terrence. And he's better on offense than both those teams. If you want to have Fred run the bench units, you can just stagger your minutes. You can stagger the lineup so that he's running with the bench. That's fine. But, like, for the most part, man, Fred deserves what he's gotten so far.
All right.
I'd really take exception to people keep trying to move Fred to the bench, man.
You're
what's
real
wrong
hot.
With people?
I think
32-7. That's half a season.
I think the reason that people struggle to like get it with Fred is that he doesn't look like the kind of player who has the success that he has. He's not big. He's not very fast. He's not very strong.
We've had Kyle Lowry run this team for like half a
and
decade.
It's created this whole cottage industry of people whose, you know, careers are Kyle Lowry's actually a Hall of Famer. And I don't know if we'll ever get there with Fred, and that's there's a difference. There's a difference between Fred and Kyle.
Yeah.
To ignore it is not reasonable, but I agree. Yeah, we have to show Fred his respect. He's playing his ass off.
No, he really is, man. Stop trying to move Fred to the bench. All right. Next one from Trace 124. What happened to Stanley Johnson? OG needs to take him under his wing.
No, OG needs to OG needs to live his own life right now. I think that Stanley will figure it out. He's a smart guy. He's going to work hard. But I don't know if I look at OG as being like a leader in the locker room just yet. I think he's in his third year. Like, it's a struggle. But let's move on. We got a call on line one, Herbert from Scarborough. Herbert, how you feeling?
What do you want to talk about, man?
I wanted to know what you guys thought would be considered a win for this season.
That's a good question. Josh, you want to go first? Or you want me to go
first? So I have a short answer, and I think we'll have a long one.
Okay.
When Kawhi left and the Raptors sort of became clear that they were going to move forward with the core of Pascal, VanVleet, Lowry, Gasol, OG, etc. I think it's clear that the Raptors have a team that can win on any night and will be entertaining in every game that they play. They're not a team, I mean, kind of like the Rockets. When the Rockets aren't hitting threes, they're kind of like not fun to watch. I think when you're talking about like position, if they make the playoffs, have home court in the first round, and challenge for an Eastern Conference Finals position, depending on how Milwaukee figures it out with their, you know, terrible roster, I think that's success.
That's the short answer. I guess I have the short answer then. If Pascal and Fred and OG take a leap, that's success for me. No matter how many games they win the regular season, I realistically don't think the Raptors have... This is not the year they're trying to make the championship push.
Yeah.
This is not the year. They will try to make another push later on. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they will change courses and do it right now. But for the moment, this is still a developmental year. And it's a great developmental year because they're going to win 50 games. And that's amazing for a developmental year. We're not talking about like a, you know, Phoenix Suns 20-win developmental year. No, we're talking about a 50-win developmental year. But I want to see ultimately Pascal take a leap, Fred take a leap, OG take a leap. And on all three of those fronts, those guys have been great. So as long as that it stays like that, I think that's a successful year because those are the guys that are going to be here for the next championship push.
And I think I just want to see Pascal do it in the playoffs. It's something that I'm thinking about is there were moments that Pascal looked like he struggled in the playoffs. To see him do well would be important. But Herbert, what do you think?
Consistently well. Yeah, I think it's consistency. But yeah, what do you think?
I think, well, obviously a back-to-back championship would be ideal, but I think a second-round exit would be where I'd be aiming.
Yeah.
Conference finals would make me happy.
Yep.
And I think that's almost like the bare minimum so that the narrative doesn't regress to like the Raptors being a regular season team. Mm.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can win in the first round.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, what?
I can't think of a matchup that would screw them.
Yeah, unless they're like somehow in the 4-5 bracket and they got to play, I don't know.
A really good like Miami Heat team. Even then, I think they can beat this Miami Heat team.
But, yeah, that'll be tough, though. That would be a tough first-round series. But I agree. The floor for this team in terms of how good they are should be at least second round.
All right. Well, Herbert, we're going to let you have a good weekend. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Go Raps. All right. We got a question. Abnan from Calgary. You're on Raptors Everything Live. My guy. Abnan.
Hey.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm well. What's your question?
So I just kind of have a proposal for a three-team trade that would bring Marc Gasol to Miami Heat and Drew Holiday.
You're plugging in the trade machine early, my guy.
All right, let's hear the trade. What are the Raptors getting first off?
Okay, so I have the trade machine here.
Yeah.
It'll be Marc Gasol and Malcolm Miller going to Miami Heat.
Okay.
Toronto Raptors would receive Drew Holiday and Duncan Robinson from Miami. And New Orleans would receive James Johnson and Deion Waiters from Miami.
All right. I got two issues with this. One.
Yes.
Why are the Pelicans giving up Drew Holiday for
James Johnson?
James Johnson.
It's because Miami needs to... Miami's not using these two guys. That's why they kind of... On a two-year contract.
Yeah.
But do the Pelicans need more wings?
Yeah, the Pelicans not going to take that deal first. I mean, second of all, who's going to play center for the Raptors now?
Chris Boucher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Facts.
So
maybe we should listen to Adnan here.
Let me just read all the stats once again, man. Yo, the Raptors are first in the NBA in opponent field goal percentage. That means they hold opponents to 40% shooting on average. Not even on a good day, on average. And Marc Gasol is a big portion of that. Like we want to get rid of him to get a third point guard, Drew Holiday, which realistically, how many minutes can you play Drew when you already got Fred and Kyle?
I'm a big
Drew would start at our starting shooting guard.
Okay, he's going to be the two. So then Fred's going back to
everyone's the trying to put Fred to the bench today. Will's about to.
No. Yeah, no. I'm not taking this deal. I'm sorry. Masai Ujiri once got Gravis Vasquez for OG Anunoby and Norman Powell. So I have a very high standards for Masai Ujiri trade. So I appreciate it, though, man. I appreciate the call.
No problem, man. I called just out of curiosity.
No worries.
It's amazing that I could just speak to you guys,
Oh, wow. Thanks for the love, man.
Thank you.
Stop trying to put Fred on the bench.
Nobody puts Fred on the bench.
Yeah. Straight up. But, hey, man, tomorrow night, we're going to lock up Luka Doncic.
Oh, I can't wait.
And end up a road trip on a 4-1 record.
Yo, that'd be amazing.
It would be, but...
Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we got John from Toronto. John, how you feeling? John,
come on, hit us with the Giannis slander.
All right, it's the Giannis slander here. So we got the Greek Freak here is already questioning self-management on their current roster and how he wishes Malcolm Brogdon is still on this team. So how is this going to affect the roster?
Well, I think we could just, for now we can't do anything about it, so we can just kind of lay back and chill and watch. It's funny because, I've got Malcolm Brogdon on my fantasy team, so I've been watching him real close, and he's averaging, close to 20 points a game with, 8 or 9 assists per game. Any questions that he can lead an offense has sort of been dispelled. There was this notion that Malcolm Brogdon was just going to be a guy that only feeds off others, and this is like an Eric Gordon situation. It's not. He's actually a pretty good player. His percentages are still quite good, even though he's the only one who can create in Indiana right now with Oladipo out. And so if I'm Giannis and I'm looking at it like, we could have just kept him, but we just didn't.
Why?
You know?
How did he win Executive of the Year and then not retain Malcolm Brogdon, who... anyone who watched that team saw that besides Giannis, he's the straw that stirs the drink. It's just, it boggles the mind.
By the way, that Executive of the Year. So first off, the Milwaukee GM, he won it over Masai Ujiri, who got Kawhi Leonard.
Didn't have to trade away Pascal Siakam.
Didn't trade OG. But also, really, the Milwaukee GM got that because he signed Brooke Lopez
and traded hired, for Nico and Mirotic. Budenholzer is like, I'll take Wistrob, yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
looks like the Smoothie King baby in a suit.
He actually does, actually. So, right now as a Raptors fan, it doesn't affect us at all. We just got to sit back and wait, We just kind of enjoy Giannis' slow realization that Milwaukee is a cheap team that will never pay the tax. No, for real. If you're on the cusp of championship contention and you let Malcolm Brogdon go, you're a cheap team.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so... we'll see, but no, right now it's just good to see you, man.
All right, John, thanks for your call. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Peace. Hey, you're calling into Raptors Everything Live.
Wait, what do you say?
This is hey, Muggin in Toronto. You're on Raptors Everything Live. That's okay. I hope you have a good weekend. Enjoy.
He was going to talk about Norm Powell. It's unfortunate,
The topic is Norm Powell. The topic is always... Oh. Howdy.
Why can't we hear Mans?
The topic is Norm Powell. Norm Powell's a great player.
Yeah, he's a great player.
You don't agree?
I'm just saying. I told the truth even when Jeremy Lin was here.
All right. So you're saying that cheering unabashedly for noted Jamaican Norman Powell is...
I told the truth when Jeremy Lin was here. All right.
Come on.
I ripped Jeremy, even though he was so nice to me. He's such an icon.
But I think it's different. Jeremy was was worse. Norm Powell will have a great game, and then he'll have two,
I think Norm is just what he is now, We don't have to, always be frustrated at him. I think... this is maybe just a lesson to myself, but just don't expect that much. Just expect Norm to give you 7 points on 40% shooting, and it should be okay. But let's hear what the actual question is on Norman Powell.
Hey, you're on Raptors Everything Live. Oh, man.
Nah, dog. This man is still not. It's still not happening.
Hello?
Hey. Hey, you're on Raptors Everything
there we
Live.
Go.
There we go. Technology bringing us together.
What's good? What did you want to talk about, Norm?
No, just wondering, like, you know, with the latest struggles with them right now, is it time to trade him or, you know, look other way or what's going to happen with them? Like, I mean, every year is the same thing, you know, just he has his struggles and doesn't show up when we really need him.
Well, Josh, I'll let you say it because you're really sympathetic to Norm. What, do you think we should trade Norm right now?
I don't think he has really any trade values.
There
so
you go. Yeah, he doesn't have much
can't.
Trade value.
Who would be a target? Like,
also, it's not great asset management to trade a guy when he's really down.
Yeah,
because you might have to attach assets to get rid of the contract. So I'm not saying it's that bad.
It isn't.
But
I think you could trade him for like another guy in a second contract who's not maybe not working out that you want to kick the wheels on, but. I don't know who it would be.
I think you can attach Norm as part of a deal to sort of do something else, maybe something bigger, and you use the
this
salary.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Norm is just kind of what it is. You
I
know,
want
like,
Norm
he'll have a great game like every four games, and then otherwise he's going to just be, you know, it kind of be somewhere between invisible to average.
Yeah.
So he's a bench player.
He's basically like low ceiling Andrew Wiggins. Also, noted.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Thanks for your call. Have a good weekend, my friend.
You guys do the job. But one thing I wanted to ask you is, like, do you think it'd be better to like trade the Clippers because, you know, he's from there, you know, he knows Kawhi. Do you think it'd be a good idea to go over there?
What would we be getting back?
I'm not giving the Clippers anything else. I'm petty. I'm petty. You know, you can't even have Norm. Can't even have Pat McCaw.
All right.
Nothing, man.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks, guys.
Peace. All right. Peace. Appreciate it. Andrew from Halifax, you're on the air with Raptors Everything.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No worries.
So I have two questions.
All right.
First one, a little bit in jest. Will, I'm curious how much you enjoy watching Detroit struggle miserably.
You know, it's hard to enjoy watching a team that's unwatchable, man. You know, they play some terrible basketball. Have you seen Andre Drummond defend pick and roll? He's like DeAndre Jordan level of just like, I don't care. I just want to get the rebound. And there isn't a rebound most times because, you know, the shot's going in.
Yeah, it's not.
And then also it's Luke Kennard. Like, it's the people going at Luke Kennard and Andre Drummond the pick and roll. It's hilarious. What's the second question?
Do you see a big push for Luke Kennard at the All-Star game at Detroit?
I mean,
is
you
he going to be their guy? He's going to be the guy that they hire some, like, ad agency in town to be like, all right, can we, like, think of some sort of catchy slogan?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, every franchise, you know, you got to push for your guy. You got to lie for your guy, even if you don't.
Man of
like,
action.
Actually believe it. Like, remember when the Raptors, yo, relax. Man of Action, those guys were actual all-stars, all right? Don't disrespect them. But remember in, like, 2012 when the Raptors had to push Andrea Bargnani as an all-star? It's like that level.
Yeah, pretty rough stuff.
All right, what's the other question?
Serious question. Raptors have a great trajectory with taking basically unproven guys and pushing them to the forefront to be legitimate starters like Fred, Pascal, late bloomers.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you see with the higher upside as with, like, Boucher starting to flash, but Davis is just early on? Who do you think has the more realistic, I don't know, ceiling to start?
That's a good question. Who do you like more?
I think it's got to be Terrence Davis. Chris Boucher has never been able to put on weight, and that's – it's always been his biggest problem. He's just too thin.
Yeah, he really is a stick. But, I mean, he's very active. And
no, for sure.
There's bonuses to that.
Agreed, but –
yeah,
who can give you more in a basketball court for the next, you know, decade? I think it's got to be Davis.
Yeah, I agree. Also, like, Chris Boucher, like, I love his story, but he's 27 and Terrence Davis is 22.
He's 27.
I know, it's weird, right? Because he kind of just broke onto the scene, but, you know, he played a long time in college.
And he has a very youthful haircut.
Yeah.
He's, you know, but not resigned into his late 20s.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm just happy that the Raptors even have two of these guys who, again, anybody in the NBA could have signed.
Yeah,
these guys. And the Raptors have the foresight to see Chris Boucher. You know what? He's actually not bad. You know, he has flaws, but if we develop this skill here, and if you compare what Chris Boucher is now versus what Chris Boucher was 3 years ago before he joined the Raptors 905, it's completely night and day. So it's just a testament to see that the Raptors development staff is what it is. And I think that reputation is starting to get out. When you see Pascal Siakam basically come from nothing and become a superstar, people take notice.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet come from nothing and then become a starting caliber point guard in this league, people take notice. And so if you're an agent and you're looking at your player, you probably want to push them to Toronto because Toronto can revive your career or at least launch it in many ways. So that's a nice advantage.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Who do you think has the higher upside?
Well, I would have said Davis for sure at the start of the season, but the only thing that's kind of swaying me is starting to see one, Boucher's tall, which helps, obviously.
Definitely.
And he's starting to hit shots from the three-point range. And he actually looks somewhat smooth. I didn't think that would come along, but he actually starting to look like he can hit the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's a good problem to have. Right now the Raptors just got both of them, so.
That's for super, sure. That's big facts.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, appreciate thanks for the call, man. Hey, shout out Halifax, too, one time. Shout out Don Ayers.
Don Ayers.
Shout out King of Don Ayers.
It's just pronounced Don Air.
Ah, whatever.
Will, what are your plans to watch the game tomorrow? Are you going to just sit in your quote-unquote office?
In my hostage? My hostage chair?
Yeah, seriously. It's really terrifying.
I'm actually going to take my little brother out to see. So he is in a typical 17-year-old Chinese-Canadian upraising. He is spending his Saturday afternoon
not wearing a poppy.
Wow. Oh, man. He is spending his Saturday afternoons taking TTC for an hour and a half from Etobicoke to Scarborough so he can attend violin lessons.
Oh, my gosh.
Private violin lessons at, like, Steeles and Warden somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Near the Foodie Mart there. And then he's going to then take transit all the way back downtown. I'm going to take him out to dinner. We're going to watch Parasite.
Very
which
nice.
I've already seen myself, but I want him to watch it as well. And then,
are you going to wait and watch him like in the the scene, the sirloin scene?
Oh yeah.
You're just going to wait like just look at his face.
Yeah, probably.
Wait for it to happen. He's
it's going to be great. And then afterwards, we probably will chill together. We probably will watch the game. I'm actually really happy that my little bro is really caught on as a basketball fan.
Yeah, I'm kind of amazed. It feels like it's just crazy when people that you like have to. Having your life develop interests that you can talk to them about. Very
it's amazing.
Convenient.
Also, he told me that a large majority, well, not a large majority, a significant share of the people that follow the Will Lou Fitz Instagram account are his buddies. Are 17-year-old boys that have like meme accounts. So shout
Salute.
Out to people. Follow Will Lou Fitz. But also, I encourage you to call into the show, 416-263-8297, 416-263-8298. You can talk to me and Josh here. And we have, another half hour to take Raptor calls? So,
great life.
Call in. But right now we have a question from Great Ducks 2000. Fantastic. Ducks are my favorite animal. Should the Raptors take a risk and pick up a player to be more competitive? Blake Griffin? let me hit him with the Stephen
A. Goodness.
The Stephen A. Smith. You want Blake Griffin?
This is a weird one. Blake Griffin is...
It's an interesting question, but realistically, we have Pascal.
Yeah, we don't need another big. If we could find a wing, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Or another guard. I don't know why I don't get Blake Griffin here.
Yeah, that's an odd choice. I think it's a combination of him being gettable...
Yeah.
And
him already being close. He's used to the climate.
Sure. He's probably dying to leave Detroit to come to Toronto, man. Dwayne Casey's probably going to be like, take
it's
me with
so
you.
So cold in the D. How the heck we supposed to get free? So cold. Do you remember that?
Call in, guys.
Do you remember it's so cold
in
the D?
So Josh doesn't have to sing.
Do you remember that video? It's like 2000 and, I don't know, 8?
No.
I feel like I showed you this in Brian Kneepage's basement.
Oh, shout out, Brian.
Shout out, Brian. See you next weekend. Next week we're gonna have a pre-wedding show. Can't wait.
Yes, I'm the best man at a upcoming wedding.
I'm just attending. It's not my wedding. Don't get it twisted.
It's not your wedding. Okay.
Shout out Dan and Vanna.
Yeah, shout out. What team has impressed you so far in the Eastern Conference?
The Boston Celtics are quite good. I hate to say it, but it is the team that I didn't think would be as good as they are. I'm sorry to my father. I'm sorry to my friends.
So your dad also hates the Celtics?
Everybody hates the Celtics in
Good.
Toronto.
Good. Yo, respect. Respect Clifton in Etobicoke, man. Yeah, I got to say, the Celtics have been nice. But, I mean, it's one of those things I don't really think the Celtics' success is entirely sustainable. Only in the sense that the way I'm seeing them play defense with the type of bigs that they have, I can't believe they are as successful as they are. I think Brad Stevens actually has a long history of getting his sort of a smaller undersized team to sort of really pressure and swarm the ball and, you know, succeed that way. But, like, I don't know. There's something about me when I watch Celtics games, I'm just like, it seems it shouldn't be that hard to score on them, and I'm just seeing teams not score on them well. So I don't know. You know, there's obviously quality and talent in that team.
Yeah.
Like, I think Jaylen Brown's taken a step, and I really like Jaylen Brown.
Kemba's showed up and played really, really well.
Yeah, Kemba's, like, real solid, you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah.
25-5-5? Is Kemba an All-Star?
Yeah, oh yeah,
definitely. Is he starting in the All-Stars game, sorry?
Probably, yeah.
That sucks.
Why? I like Kemba.
I like Kemba, too, but it's
He's on the Celtics. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, Jason Tatum is whatever. You know, kind of take it or leave it there. But yeah, it's just the bigs are surprising me, and like the way they're getting by again with like Daniel Tice and Robert Williams and that Grant dude and you know, Enes Kanter. Like, that doesn't scream like the front court of like a even like a 50-win team, you know?
But they're playing like it. It's crazy. They're
yeah, no, they have been impressive. I agree. And then the Heat. I mean, but I think we kind of knew that the Heat were going to be pretty good. Another question from Jeff Golden State Blum. What do you guys
Jeff
make?
Goldblum, Golden State Bloom.
That's a
no,
lot,
that's
man.
Good. That's good. It's a good pun. Amit rates it.
All right, fine.
I rate it as well.
2 out of 3 then. What do you guys make of the Spurs wanting to trade DeMar rumors?
Makes sense.
Why does it make sense?
The Spurs,
bro. What else are the Spurs doing?
It's a, he's a tradable asset. If they're able to get something back, they are looking towards a rebuild. DeMar should be on a more competitive team. It makes sense.
Do you think – I know Spurs fans don't like Kawhi, but do you think Spurs fans are mad at the organization for only getting DeMar and Jakob Poeltl back in that? I mean, it was a difficult situation. Kawhi and his group made it a little bit more difficult, but at the same time
– I think the fact that they have DeMar and Jakob and $2 million less, we can't forget that, as a part of the trade only makes them hate Kawhi more. It doesn't change anything to do with how they feel about DeMar.
Remember how Masai made them pay $10 million? To make that trade?
I can't.
Masai was in Kenya opening a basketball court with Barack Obama, and he's like, no, I can't do this deal unless you give me $10 million for free.
Barack's just like, no, you're wildin' now. Yeah, he's like,
Brock's
no, watch
like, come
me.
On, man. It's Kawhi Leonard. You know, but... And then Barack Obama came to Toronto for the NBA Finals.
That was a great moment.
It was. I was in the same building as Barack. That was wild.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, but in terms of the Spurs trading DeMar, I mean, I think they just want to avoid getting into a situation where they got to pay him because, you know, there was already an opportunity for them to, you know, get together on an extension in the offseason. They couldn't obviously reach a common ground.
Yep.
So it's, you know, a classic thing. They obviously value DeMar less than what DeMar values himself. And so there's a divide there.
DeMar has one last big contract.
Yeah, and he wants to get it. Yep. And he's going to get it from the Knicks.
Whoa.
I can't wait, man.
Is that his
RJ Barrett and DeMar DeRozan? The best 30-win team.
We have a question from Who Shot Ya. How realistic is this scenario? Kyle and DeMar sign a 1 year in 2021 to run it back together to get one chip together with Giannis.
I don't think the Raptors are re-signing DeMar, man. I look... It would be an incredible story for DeMar to come back and win it. But realistically, this is probably why the Spurs also want to move him, is that if you're not featuring DeMar DeRozan, what is he doing for you in a team concept? Because he's not playing defense, and he's not really shooting threes at all, so he's not spacing the floor.
I also kind of want Raptors fans to leave DeMar alone. I think that it's got to be awkward for him. It's got to not.
Yeah, it would be extremely awkward.
Yeah, if he came back and he ever missed a shot, it'd be like, we should have kept Kawhi. It's just, I don't. Yeah. It wouldn't be fun. I was never, towards the end, I wasn't a huge DeMar DeRozan guy. Respect him for what he did for the city. One of the greatest franchise players ever.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But bringing him back, it's different. It's a little different than the Vince Carter thing. It'd be weird. It'd be weird. Yeah. If they all ran it back together, I don't know, Philadelphia, go nuts.
Where do you think DeMar will land? There was a rumor that Orlando might be interested.
That's like where you go as a Raptor to
to end your Raptor career, like DJ Augustine. And Terrence Ross?
Yeah. If I was a Raptors player and they're like, we're training you to Orlando, like, you guys really think I ain't shit, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying about you. But I also think that, like, for a team like Orlando, they probably just have a desire to make the playoffs. And they've gone off to a very slow start.
Yeah.
And honestly, DeMar can really help raise your floor. He's not really a ceiling raiser. In fact, he might kind of impose a ceiling on your team.
Yeah.
Necessarily with the way he plays. But at the same time, he can raise your floor. And a lot of teams in the NBA could have their floor raised. So another question. What happened to the Patrick Patterson Award? So the Pat Patterson Award was awarded to players in the NBA in the game that in the Raptors game that had taken place that night. That had underperformed and not scored. Now, granted, this was mostly for the playoffs because that was mostly a playoff award. Because Pat Patterson in the regular season actually performed quite decently.
Could have won the sixth man in 2013 or whatever.
17?
Wasn't that that?
Yeah, he was not bad in that year. He really wasn't. Yeah. He was like honestly the Raptors' like only viable defensive big man. And Patrick Patterson has been like a very solid Toronto Raptor. I'm happy. And then, you know, it just kind of fell off. But that's what happened to the award. It was a playoff award for the most part.
Originally titled something else.
We need some new awards, though, Josh. You can suggest some, actually, if you're listening. Suggest some new awards for the Reaction Podcast. But, Josh, do you have any suggestions?
That is a... You're really putting me on the spot here. This isn't one of those...
this is what being live means.
This isn't the segment that we wrote yesterday afternoon. A new award after every game that the Raptors could get. And the Anthony Tolliver Award, the opposing rando on the other team that is destined to be a Raptor one day.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did honestly want him on the team for a long
time. Yeah, but you just want, like, not to be a starter, not to be – just not like seeing LeBron, like, oh, he'd make a great Raptor. It's like, there's just a random guy on the team that you
– Ersan Ilyasova was one of those guys.
Yeah.
People kept trying to put Ersan on the Raptors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. One guy on the team that you would want on the Raptors eventually.
Yeah.
That's like realistic.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Giannis.
Yeah. Well, that's realistic. Next one. Anyone else been happily surprised with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's clamps? By the way, actually, Rondae has rejected the Junkyard Dog 2.0 nickname.
3.0.
Yeah, you're right. 2.0 was DeMarre Carroll, so that you know that version had a lot of bugs or whatever, so they've updated to 3.0. But he rejects that nickname. He actually would rather be called Rondae Hustle Jefferson.
Oh, you mean God bless him.
It's better than JYD 2.0.
He should go Rondae Recommendations Jefferson.
Okay, relax. But yeah, has anyone else been happily surprised with Rondae's clamps recently? Always knew he was a decent with the Nets, but damn, never see him D up like that before. I think part of it is, well, A, it's realistic. He's actually been a really good defender in the past, and I think he is a good defensive player. But I also think it's just B, like the hunger.
Yeah, he's playing for his life.
That possession in the fourth quarter against the Blazers where he dives on the floor between four Blazers to save the loose ball, then CJ McCollum randomly falls on his legs for no reason.
And he's slow to get up.
Yeah, yeah. And then later on, he beats CJ to the miss and then tips it through two Blazers' hands and then saves possession for the Raptors. Like, that's just hunger. That's different level of hunger. And I think now more than ever, he's in a tough spot in his career. Like, he's on a minimum contract. You know, he's on a new team. He wasn't getting minutes. Like, you better play real hard, you know?
Yeah, he's really impressed.
But, yeah, I think he could play defense legitimately, too. Hunger aside, you know?
Well, do you want to look ahead to next week's games?
Yes, let's do it. So what's going on?
So tomorrow night, as you know, the Raptors are playing the Mavericks in Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's going to be – that. I'm not sure. It shouldn't be a schedule loss, but I wouldn't be too disappointed if the Raptors sort of rolled over. They have a really easy week coming up.
Yep.
So they might think, you know, what do we need to play our asses off tonight if we're going to go and play the Magic and later in the week? But what do you think? Who wins?
Honestly, I don't know, man. I guess you got to go with Raptors. I mean, realistically, logically, you would look at it like, well, the Raptors are without so many top players in the rotation, and they're tired at the end of the road trip. What are they going to do? Well, B, that's fine. But also, like, you know, they got 2 days rest. They've been playing playing great basketball. They've been competing. They've had guys step up. Porzingis actually isn't playing that well. The Mavs just lost twice to the Knicks. So, like, man, the Raptors, you know, they should be able to compete, and I think they should be able to win. So I'm going to go with the Raptors. What about after that?
After that, Well, I actually think the Mavericks win. I think the Mavericks coming off that bad loss in New York, coming home, they got to turn it around. But after we host the Hornets on Monday.
Yes. The Hornets have been a
surprisingly watchable
team. I like
team.
Watching the Hornets. Yeah, I like watching the Hornets. Bismack is back in the rotation.
Big business.
I love watching Bismack do his thing. I think they've gotten some pretty surprising contributions from guys like Devontae Graham. He's been really good for them off the bench, although he's really like a Lou Williams situation off the bench. Like he's actually should be in the starting lineup. You know, what else has been going good for them? You know, Miles Bridges can dunk. That Cody Martin guy who's been hustling pretty hard.
But at the end of the day, it's a dub.
Yeah, they should win that game.
The Raptors coming home after a road trip.
Yeah, no, they're going to take care of business.
Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
And then on Wednesday, they play the Orlando Magic again. Who's been looking forward to playing the Magic so often? But, I mean, we saw last game. I think, you know, the Magic are just not that good of a team, and I think the Raptors should be able to beat the Magic at home.
Yeah, those two are wins. I think they go 1-2, or 2-1 in this stretch with maybe a loss tomorrow night.
And I'm going with 3-0. Never underestimate.
Never underestimate. We got Logan calling in from London, Ontario. Logan, how are you feeling? My man, Logan.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, how are you doing?
Good, good. Just was going to ask, what place do you guys think the Raptors will finish this year?
In the standings.
Yes.
Gotcha. Will?
I had them third, with the assumption that Milwaukee and Philly were going to be ahead of them. I'm not as sold on Milwaukee and Philly now that I've seen them in the regular season. I feel like Milwaukee doesn't have the same they're not playing as hard. The vibe around them is a little different. Every game is weirdly close. Last year, remember, they blew out everybody. So this year it's not as much of a end-to-end kind of effort and hustle with them. And then also with Philly, like, you know, Joel Embiid was supposed to be playing every game. He has basically been load managed. His knee's been flaring up and stuff like that. So that seems like a bit of an issue. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the Raptors might be able to finish second, but I'm ultimately still going to say third. But I don't know.
They're top three, depending on health. I wouldn't be amazed if the Raptors would finish with the one seed at this point.
Okay.
The Sixers' offense isn't that good.
It's not good.
The Milwaukee Bucks are a weird team this year.
They're a little bit old, too, the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywhere between 3-1 just depends on health.
Yeah.
With all four of those teams that are going to be top four in the East.
Where do you think they're going to finish, man?
I'm like currently, like you guys said, Philly and Milwaukee are just unknown. And who knows how long Boston will stay, what they're doing. So top two is like a good possibility. But I'm thinking if they're top two, do you think Spicy Pete's got a chance at MVP?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I don't think they'll ultimately give it to him. It's just they don't ever give it to the breakout guy.
Yeah, it's the year after you are the breakout
guy. Yeah, it's like a delayed kind of thing. Like, you got to get the respect first on that level, and then you're considered one of the candidates. You got to get in the door. But I think if they finish second, Pascal's one of those guys that gets in the door.
Yeah, and then next year he can win it.
Yep, so anyway, thank you for your call. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Peace. Oh no, another he's in question. The chat.
Oh my god, from Slander Poppy himself, Asad Alvi asks, "How many 40-point games for Pascal Siakam this season? Will he break 50?"
How many times do we play the Pelicans?
Well, we already played them twice, unfortunately. But don't forget, the Wizards are still a team.
Oh yeah,
Eastern Conference. So at least three. At least three. He might honestly average like 48 points a game against Washington. They're going to be throwing guys like rookie Rui Hachimura.
Salute Rui Hachimura. Yeah, he's having a great rookie season.
Yeah, already a top three Blazian. And then who else?
Other top three
Davis
Blazians?
Bertan. Well, we can get to that ranking in a second.
Jhené Okoh, number one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Actually,
Tiger
undisputed.
Number two.
Yeah, Tiger, he's lucky to be number two at this point.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But Rui Hachimura, you're a third. Congratulations.
Yeah, Pascal's going to ball out of control. There are some games this season where he's just going to
Washington
have like 30 before by halftime.
Washington plays no defense. They play fast. So that's part of why, you know, Pascal plays well against the Pelicans is that not only do they play no defense, but they play fast. So they give them a lot of chances to score.
Yeah.
They are not good defensively at the positions where you need them to be. In terms of, like, I don't trust Hachimura to guard Pascal, and I definitely don't trust Bertans to guard Pascal.
No.
And, you know, the Wizards also are potent enough offensively to stay in the game.
Yeah.
The Raptors, they never really blow the Wizards. They really don't. It's always, like, weirdly competitive. So, and plus, Pascal's already had 44 on the Wizards. So I'm going to say the three times Raptors play the Wizards, he's going to have 40 or maybe even 50.
So that's like, let's go with an over-under 11 games. Over or under?
11 games? 11,
40, yeah.
No, under, man. Come on.
So, like, six you're thinking?
11 games of 40? What do you say? You know, he's not James Harden. Come on.
Golden State is another one. Another
we're going to blow out Golden State so much that Nick won't even have to play in 45 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 11. 11.
I think it's like, I think it's pushing 11.
You're giving the immigrant parent expectation, man. 11 times.
What's, he has two now?
He has one, right?
Didn't he go for...
No, he has one.
Oh, does
he has one in 11 games. You want him to get...
Nah, okay, okay, yeah. Okay, okay.
All right, Andrew asks, who's better than Doncic or Pascal? I got to say Doncic has been better than Pascal. But also they play very different roles.
It's yeah, the entire team is
Doncic
structured.
Doncic is giving you 30, 10, and 10.
Man. He's the whole offense. It's totally – it's apples and oranges. I think that Pascal I find more entertaining to watch, which counts for something. But okay. Yeah, Doncic is like a complete offensive player right now.
Yeah, Doncic is legit right now, man. Asad came up with another question. All right, finally, he actually slandered somebody. How did the Knicks manage to sign seven power forwards and none of them can guard Pascal? That's a great question.
That is a really good question.
Remember when people were saying that Pascal was just Julius Randle? People were really saying that. Just Julius Randle.
Did anybody see this coming?
No, but...
Did Masai see this coming?
Have people watched Julius Randle play basketball the last couple of years?
Julius Randle's kind of nice in his last year in the Lakers, and it made no sense that they let him leave.
He's fine. He's fine. He's a bench big man.
Yeah, it's too bad. He should be more achieving.
I saw a stat earlier that said Julius Randle was shooting single digits from three. Single digits. Like, not multiple digits. The first digit, it was zero, and the second digit was
a
like
number.
Nine.
Well, that's not good.
But he did... Actually, I don't know. I can't even front like I've been watching the Knicks.
It's terrible to watch.
Another question. Wiggins for most improved player.
Why not?
You know what?
You have to see it for at least 20 games.
Sure. But you know what? I don't like the idea of rewarding somebody for underperforming for a long time and then performing up to standard.
You okay?
Yeah.
Barred him up.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Should we move into our last and favorite segment?
Yes, we should. We should. So, last week, we had Rondé's recommendations.
Oh, no.
In which we gave Rondé, who at the time we assumed we were going to have a lot of free time, but of course, OG went down, Serge went down, all of a sudden. All right, so Rondé's got to actually play, and he's been balling. All right,
balling.
So, all respect to Rondé Hollis Jefferson. Rondé Hustle Jefferson.
Rondé Hustle Jefferson.
Yeah, that's something he suggested, and so he wants it like that. But, yeah.
We like the segment.
He has a lot of time. Sorry, he has no time anymore, so we can't really be doing Rondé's recommendations. However, there's still someone on the team, Stanley Johnson.
Who has some time.
So we're changing this segment from Rondé's recommendations to Stanley's suggestions, in which we give him some things to do across, around the great city of Toronto.
Yeah.
So, Josh, go ahead. What's your suggestion?
So my first one is, I think, you know, the big change in weather this week may make it harder to want to get outside and to explore the great city of Toronto. So my suggestion for Stanley this week is Disney Plus. He can purchase and download the applications onto his, you know, smartphone, tablet, PC, maybe his PS4. And he can, watch the Muppets movie. I started it a couple days ago. Still holds up.
Mm.
I think that's a great way to spend some time when you're, you know.
Here's the thing. Stanley.
Yeah.
Even though the man's from California, he spent 4 years in Detroit.
That's true.
He's used to winter, so he's not afraid, all right? He's got the Canada Goose in the closet already. So my suggestion for him is, Stanley, man, embrace winter. And you know what's one of the best parts about winter? Well, not really, but the Santa Claus parade. That Toronto Santa Claus parade is happening this weekend. Stanley, you know, maybe go check out the floats, you know.
The routes changed.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to go. See
Are
the
you
Paw
actually?
Patrol? My brother's kids might come down and we'll go check it out.
That's adorable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Stanley's suggestions. I hope we don't have – I mean, I hope Stanley plays well. I think actually Stanley's going to have his moment eventually with the Raptors. Clearly, he's playing with so little confidence right now that it's hard to judge him just based on
shook.
Ahmed is not seeing it. But then again, Ahmed also believes in Norman Powell. So, you know, we can't –
because he's smart.
Well, all right. I can't believe we have two Norman Powell stands. But I think Stanley will eventually have his moment. But for now – we're going to keep the segment as Stanley's suggestions. So
we can't have a player start to be trash and not have a alliterative name with a synonym for ideas that you can have.
I mean, we're reaching the bottom of the barrel here. What else are we going to do? Like
OG's observations if he takes a turn. I don't see it coming, but
I can't wait for DeJuan's destinations.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So there's another option right there. So DeJuan's destinations. We haven't gotten to that point. It's still Stanley's suggestions. So, I think that has brought an end to the this week's episode of the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show. Again, we are going live every Friday between 3:30 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. So you can call in. You can also send messages in the group chat that's in the YouTube page. There's like a chat on the side. And people, you can talk to each other. You can ask questions for the show. We'll bring up a couple of questions. And so for myself, for Josh...
Salute.
For our presenting sponsor, KFC.
Shout out to KFC.
Shout out, KFC. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll be back next Friday. Peace.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM. When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.